We get to turn to Galatians chapter 6 one last time. This is our final message in our series, No Other Gospel. After today, we're going to start next week with a series that leads up to Easter called Jesus is King, and we would love for you to join us for that. If you're watching us online, we would love for you to come at 9 or 11 next week and join us in person, and we're looking forward to that series together. But we're going to be in Galatians chapter 6 this morning, and as always, if you're a guest with us, maybe you're checking us out online, every single week we want to make sure that it is clear that we believe that the Bible is God's inerrant, inspired revelation to us, that it's to be the very foundation for our lives. And so we don't really believe that what I have to say this morning matters very much unless it agrees with what God has said. His word is what matters. And so that's why we encourage you to open your Bibles. If you have the app, get it up there on your app. I'll have the words on the screen as well. We want you to see what God has to say to you from his word in Galatians 6, 11 through 18, as we have one more opportunity to allow this great letter to speak truth into our hearts. And so I'm planning on giving you all I got this morning and then trusting that the Holy Spirit will have even more for us. And our purpose for this series is that we would live by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And I'm praying that that purpose has been accomplished in your life, that you are living more and more based on the gospel, because the gospel is not something as followers of Jesus that we can ever afford to move on from. It's something that we move deeper and deeper into. We never move on from the good news that even though our sin separates us from a holy God, even though we can never be good enough on our own to earn anything from a holy God, God in his grace sent Jesus. And as a result of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection in our place, not only has the price of our sin been paid in full, but if you place your faith in Christ alone, his righteousness is counted as your righteousness. So we don't have to stand before the holy judge on the basis of our sinful resume. We can be declared righteous because of the work of Jesus. If you haven't been with us, that's the gospel, and it is eternity-altering good news for all who believe it, and it's not just the starting point of the Christian life. It is the whole journey of the Christian life. We don't move on from grace to living by our own achievements. We don't move on from Christ to dependence on ourselves. We never move on from the gospel. We don't even move on from the gospel when this life is over. There's nowhere else good to go. There's nowhere else good to go outside of the gospel. I don't want to live based on what I deserve. I'm not good enough to desire what I deserve. Christianity's not about what we do ourselves. It's about getting over ourselves and realizing that all is grace. All is grace. This is what makes Christianity unique from every other belief system. Christianity openly accepts the reality that we can never do anything to put God in our debt. We can never do anything to earn or deserve our salvation. Say, God, you owe me this. No, it's not faith plus works. It's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And Paul wrote this letter to churches who were in danger. He was writing to churches that he and Barnabas had started on their first missionary journey. The region of Galatia, north of the Mediterranean Sea in what is now modern-day Turkey. And after Paul and Barnabas left that area, after starting these churches, false teachers had come in, and they were persuading the Galatians to move on from the gospel and to live by their human merit and by ceremonialism. And Gentile believers were told that they had to be circumcised if they wanted to measure up to Jewish believers. And they were wandering dangerously into legalism of using a set of rules to elevate themselves. And a gospel message that includes legalism is not a gospel message at all. Because there's no true good news for us in legalism. If the message is, here's what you have to do in order to earn God's favor, here's what you have to do in order to measure up, then that is a message that will crush you under the weight of a law that you could never fulfill. That's a message that's going to trap you into constantly comparing yourself to other people and almost rooting for others to fail so that way you can look better. It's not good news. Legalism is not good news. And so we have watched Paul just passionately call them back to the reality and the safety that the gospel is enough, that the gospel is sufficient. And I'm praying that we wouldn't just agree that the gospel is enough when we are in church. I am praying that our lives would demonstrate our faith in the sufficiency of the gospel. That we would believe that God's grace is superior even when our human nature tells us, I think I've earned something. I think I deserve something. And this letter concludes with what I see as a wonderful summary of the letter as a whole. And so we're just going to jump into the pool this morning, and we're going to soak in these truths one more time. And I want to read the whole passage, and then we'll walk through it together. So Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 through 18, here's what it says. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. This paragraph starts with a change in writers. Not a change in authors, but a change in writers. That's what you see in verse 11. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. So you have to realize that Paul didn't write these letters to the churches himself. He would dictate them to an amanuensis, to a secretary. And so I love picturing this moment that we have here in verse 11. After Paul's been talking, right, he's been going through this letter, and the other dude's just been writing, and Paul has said some things in this letter that the secretary probably didn't expect to write to a church. Are you sure you want to tell the Judaizers to emasculate themselves? Don't argue with the Holy Spirit, man, okay? Just write it. So now Paul gets to the conclusion, and he stops, and he says to the secretary, give me the pen. That's what this verse is. Hand me the pen. And so our passage, as we finish this letter, was originally handwritten by Paul, which doesn't make it any more inspired than the rest of it, because inspiration is determined by the Holy Spirit, not by man. But it does give credibility to the Galatians church of Paul's authorship, and Paul did intend for these words to be emphasized. And so in more modern terms, what Paul is doing here is he's bumping the font size up to about 20. He clicks bold, underline, italics, right, at the top of the Word document. I am writing this with large letters. Don't miss this. Here's the summary of everything that has been written so far. And what he's going to do is bring down legalism once again and then elevate the cross of Jesus Christ one last time. See with what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. So one last time, Paul is going to call out the false teachers, the legalistic Judaizers who were troubling these churches. And this is one last blow to those who wanted the Gentiles to live based on ceremonial laws of Judaism. And Paul's going to call out the real motivation behind them wanting the Galatian believers to accept their ceremonial laws. He says, they only do that in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. And so their motivation was wanting to avoid pain. They were trying to avoid pain. The Judaizers essentially wanted to have their cake and eat it too. They wanted to be able to say, sure, we embrace Jesus while still holding on to their ceremonial Judaism, because that way they avoid persecution from Jewish leaders, because they were still keeping the Jewish law, and they were only eating and living in community with those who did the same. And they think that they can maybe avoid persecution from the Romans, because Judaism is a legally recognized religion in the Roman Empire. And so these Judaizers, they wanted faith plus works, because they wanted a faith that was more socially acceptable. They wanted a faith that was more socially acceptable. And they aren't the last teachers who have tried to make Christianity more socially acceptable. Look at verse 13. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised. Here's another motivation: that they may boast in your flesh. And so they were motivated by a desire to avoid pain and to pursue praise. Avoiding pain, pursuing praise. They don't actually care about you. They aren't concerned about your spiritual condition. All they want is another notch in their belt. They want to be able to add you to their resume, and that's always going to be the desire of a legalistic mindset, because your resume is your hope. You have to prove yourself. You have to have stuff that you can point to that you did, and people that you've changed. You have to make sure you get the recognition that you deserve. And so if you want to recognize the legalistic areas of your heart and of your mind, here's what you need to pay attention to. Pay attention to how often you think, I don't deserve this pain or this frustration or this problem, but I do deserve this recognition. I do deserve this praise. These are the legalistic motivations that are just so dangerous to all of us: a fear of rejection and a love of praise. Fear of rejection and a love of praise. And why are they so dangerous? Because if you are motivated by a fear of human rejection or by the love of human praise, then you will never truly and fully embrace the cross of Jesus Christ. Because you can't embrace the cross without also experiencing some level of criticism or rejection by the world. And Paul's going to get to that. And you can't embrace what Christ accomplished on the cross while also holding on to your own pride and your own accomplishments. The cross outs us in saying, I'm not good enough. I don't deserve the praise. I can't do this on my own. And the irony of these false teachers troubling the Gentile believers and making them feel like second-class citizens in the kingdom of God if they don't follow these ceremonial laws is stated at the beginning of verse 13. Paul says they don't even keep the law that they're trying to put you under, because legalism cares more about the appearance of law keeping than actually fulfilling what God has said. And that's why we said that the fulfillment of the law of Christ isn't found under legalism, it's found under grace. You can't fulfill the law by depending on your works. It's only through dependence on Christ. And in contrast to the legalistic mindset of the false teachers, we are going to see the mindset of Paul and the mindset of someone who doesn't live based on legalism, but based on the gospel. Grace alone, faith alone, in Christ alone. Look at verse 14. Here's the contrast. They're just doing it so they can boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. All right, get comfortable. We're going to stay right here for a while, okay? If you want to know what point we're on, it's this verse right here. And so one thing I have been thinking about this week as we wrap up this series is what makes this series a success? We've preached 20 sermons on the book of Galatians. What determines if they have been effective? And obviously, my desire throughout this book is that we would move deeper and deeper into the gospel. It's not just the shallow end of Christianity. It is the whole pool. I want us to live based on the gospel. I don't want you to approach life from the standpoint of merit and what you have earned, but rather from the standpoint of grace. And so much of the message of this book is summarized right here in verse 14, which means I better not mess it up, okay? So if you want to know if you have embraced the truth of the book of Galatians, ask yourself if you have embraced this verse in your life. Far be it from me, far be it from me that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the plan is just to spend the rest of our time this morning just exalting the cross of Jesus Christ, because it is the only cause for boasting. It's the only cause for boasting. And before we get further into this, I think we should probably acknowledge how strange and how surprising this verse is. And then I'll get really excited about it after that. But let me acknowledge the strangeness. Because in Christian circles, we have come to get used to the cross being a symbol that is celebrated. Right, we celebrate the cross in Christian circles. So many of our songs just elevate and celebrate the cross. And so let me put what Paul is saying here in more modern terms and see if it hits your ears any differently. Because what Paul is saying in verse 14 would be like someone today saying, only boast in the electric chair. Only boast in lethal injection. Only boast in execution. Let's just acknowledge that's a strange statement. That would be a very strange statement to make. Crucifixions were so terrible and gruesome, you probably would not have been able to watch it. Just the sounds, the nails being driven through flesh, the screams of pain, the gasping for breath, an almost unimaginably horrific scene is what unfolds whenever there is a crucifixion. But Paul says, the only thing I boast in is the execution of Jesus Christ. Why? Because in the death of Jesus on the cross, he used a method of execution that was meant to break him to make us whole. He took a symbol of death and endured it to bring us life. What was intended to inflict unbearable pain was used to bring us healing. And as a result of Christ's work, what was intended to be his humiliation has actually resulted in his glorification. You see, this is why Jesus came on a rescue mission from heaven. This is the gospel. While we were lost in our sin and busy building our legalistic resume that could never meet God's righteous standard, Jesus left his throne in heaven to come to the brokenness of this world. And Jesus lived the perfect life that you and I should have lived, and he died the death that you and I deserved to die. When you see that horrific picture of Jesus suffering and dying on the cross, what you are seeing is what you and I deserve to experience because of our rebellion against God. He took our place. He took the just punishment for our sin on himself. And then he rose from the dead. He conquered sin and the grave. So if you place your faith in the perfect life, sacrificial death, and victorious resurrection of Jesus, if you turn in your sinful resume and say, this is not good enough, I need Jesus, all of your sins are forgiven. The righteousness of Jesus is credited to your account. You become part of the eternal family of God, not because you deserve it, not because of anything that we have done, but because Jesus is enough, because grace is enough, because the cross is enough. And if you believe that, how could you boast in anything else? How could you boast in anything else? I'll put it bluntly. It's embarrassing that we can look at the cross and see Jesus suffering and dying in our place and still have so much pride within ourselves. What are we doing? What are we doing? Look at my church attendance. Look at all the money I make. Look at all the money I give away. Look at how great my kids are. No, Tim, no. Look at Jesus bleeding and dying in your place on a piece of wood for the sins that you committed against him, even on your best days. Look at that. And then see that this was God's plan from the beginning. It wasn't an accident. His plan of redemption was always that we could receive grace, what we don't deserve, and he could receive glory, what he does deserve. So to be a Christian is to just tear down any source of pride that we would use to prop ourselves up and instead to elevate the cross of Christ. Not me, but Christ. To be a Christian is to say, don't look at me, look at Jesus. Look at what he has done. Look at his goodness. Look at the work that he accomplished. So what does it mean to boast only in the cross? Because you might know, and you might even be thinking about this, there are other passages where Paul boasts in or exalts in or rejoices in other things. He exalts in tribulation in the book of Romans. He boasts in the Thessalonians in the letters that he wrote to them. He boasts in his weaknesses in 2 Corinthians 12, that passage that has meant so much for us in this last year about God's grace being sufficient for us. He boasts in his weaknesses. And so it's so important that you see that there's no contradiction in those things. When Paul rejoices in or exalts in or boasts in those things, it's not a contradiction to what he's saying here. And Piper explains this so well. Because when Paul says, far be it from me to boast except in the cross, that means that anything else we rejoice in or exalt in or boast in should be at its root a boasting in the cross and not ourselves. What the acceptance of Jesus does, when we embrace the cross, we're saying anything that I would rejoice in, anything that I would boast in, anything that I would exalt in, is instead at its root a boasting about the cross. And so this is my prayer, that you and I would get to the place in our walks with Jesus where we would see things that we might have previously been inclined to boast about. The things that some people might even say to us, you've earned this, or you deserve this. And instead of seeing them as something we should boast in, we instead see them as the result of grace that can be connected to the work of Christ on the cross. Anything that you might have been inclined to boast in would actually become an opportunity to boast about the work of Jesus, that we would see every good thing that we have from God as obtained by the cross. Every bad thing that God turns for good has been redeemed by the cross. We would recognize that the cross is the source of all mercy. It is the source of all grace. Let me give you an example. My marriage owes any success to the cross of Jesus Christ. Why? Because when I love my wife as Christ loved the church, all that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit that indwells me because of the redemption that was won for me at the cross. So our marriages are only successful when they are a picture of the love and the redemption and the transformation that was accomplished at Calvary. So any praise for our marriages becomes a praise for what? For the cross. This week marks a year since COVID hit our church family so hard. And we have lost people that we love, and we've also seen God's mercy, and we've seen God's protection, and we have seen God's healing. And the reason that we know that God's grace is sufficient for us, and that our pain isn't pointless, and that we can boast in our weaknesses, and God is working all things together for good for those who love Him. The reason we can know all those things is why? Because of the cross. So any boasting about God's goodness or about God's faithfulness or about God's blessings in this past year is rooted in the work that Christ accomplished at Calvary. Anything in your life, parenting, your job, your 401k, the food on your table this afternoon, any blessing, any cause for boasting is a cause for boasting in the cross when we live based on the gospel. And so if you could just grab hold of this and never let it go. That's why I want you to grab hold of this and never let it go. Every blessing in your life had to be purchased for you, and their price tag was the death of Jesus. Every blessing in your life had to be purchased. You didn't earn any of them, and their price tag was the death of Jesus. How humbling of a reality is that? How humbling is it to realize that though I deserved the cross, Jesus took my place. He took my place so that now what should have been my end is actually the beginning of every gracious blessing from the hand of my generous and loving Heavenly Father. How humbling is it to realize that in order for any earthly thing that we enjoy or don't enjoy to be leveraged for eternal gains, Jesus had to suffer and die to accomplish that. Jesus' pain is what tells us that our pain is not pointless. Jesus' suffering means that how we use our earthly wealth matters. How we parent matters. How we treat other people matters. Why? Because of the cross. So if you want to know if you are living based on the gospel, ask yourself this question. What do I boast about? What do I take pride in? Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. We elevate the cross because it is the only cause for boasting and it is the only way to new life. Because we don't need a minor alteration to our physical bodies. We needed to be made brand new. And that need for a new life, instead of to just be circumcised or to just be uncircumcised, is explaining why Paul says what he does at the end of verse 14, the second half of verse 14. By which, that's by the cross, the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. What does that mean? When someone was crucified, it represented that person was rejected and scorned. So, so when Paul says the world should be crucified to us, that means that we see all that the world offers us. Right? All of the temporary investments, all of the works of the flesh, all of the immediate gratification, all of the you deserve this now, you can have this now, you should enjoy this now, all of the fame and all of the fortune and all of the leisure. We see everything that the world offers us and we reject it. We scorn it. Think about Philippians 3:8. We count everything as loss so that we may gain Christ. You can have all this world. Just give me Jesus. The world has been crucified to me, but Paul doesn't stop with that. He adds, I have been crucified. I have been rejected and scorned by the world. So, you have to see this as a contrast to what he said about the legalistic Judaizers in verses 12 and 13. They were seeking to avoid pain and to gain praise. And Paul says, as a follower of Jesus, it's just the opposite. I have died to the praise of this world because it's not enough. It doesn't save, it doesn't satisfy, it doesn't fulfill, and it certainly won't last. I don't want the world to clap for me while I run towards hell. I want the world to scoff at me while I run towards Jesus. Do you believe that? We don't need the world to clap for us as we run towards their things and run towards what's temporary and run towards hell. No, let the world scoff at us and we'll run towards Jesus because we need him. So let them call you foolish. Let them criticize your priorities. I don't need to gain their acceptance. I don't need their applause. I need Christ. Have you come to the place in your life where you believe that? Have you seen all that the world offers you and realized it is so empty? It is so pointless. I don't want it for any of you. It will never be enough because I'm not enough. So I don't need to become a better version of myself. I don't need to follow my heart or follow my dreams or be true to who I am and or build my kingdom. I need a whole new life. I need to be reborn, and that is only possible because of the cross. And so if you don't think the cross deserves the credit for the life that you have, maybe you haven't been transformed yet. Maybe you don't have a new life in him yet. And I'm praying you will receive the gospel today because it's so much better than anything that the world offers. We elevate the cross because it is the only cause for boasting. It is the only way to new life. Verse 16, and as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. We elevate the cross because it is the only path to peace and mercy. And people debate what Israel of God means in that verse. A lot of people connect it with chapter 3, where Paul says that those who are of faith are the true sons of Abraham. So they see Israel of God referring to Jews and Gentiles together as the church. Others see this verse as Paul expressing his longing for national Israel to experience the peace and the mercy and the grace that comes through the cross of Jesus Christ. But either way, however you take that phrase, the point of this verse is that if you want to find real peace, if you want to find real mercy, and this is what I want for all of you, true peace, true mercy, true grace, it is not found on the path of legalism. It is not found on the path of license. It is only found on the path of the gospel. It is not found when you rely on your adherence to the law or your adherence to your feelings. It is found when you rely on Christ alone. So Paul says, from now on, let no one cause me trouble. That's speaking to the false teachers. For I bear on my body, not circumcision especially, the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. Paul's saying it's not about whether you have the mark of circumcision. Let's put this in today's terms. It's not about whether you have the mark of a certain college degree or a certain income bracket or a certain ethnicity or a certain church denomination. What matters is whether you have been marked by Jesus, whether you belong to him. And the marks of persecution on Paul's body served as evidence that he had rejected the world system and was willing to be rejected by the world so he could embrace Jesus, because the cross is enough. The cross is the only cause for boasting. It is the only way to be made new, and it is the only path to peace and mercy. The gospel is the only way for verse 18 to be true of you, for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to be with your spirit. So I don't want us to try to live any other way. I don't want us to move on from this. I don't want you to live by merit alone, through pride alone, in yourself alone. My question for you as we consider the end of this book is, will you live by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone? Will you live by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone? That's the gospel, and there is no other. You won't find good news anywhere else. We don't move on from it. We move deeper and deeper into it. It's not just one book of the Bible. It's the whole story of redemption. And it needs to be your story too. It needs to be your story too. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, today we want to tear down any pedestal of pride that we have been using to prop ourselves up. And instead, we want to elevate the cross, because your work is sufficient. You are enough. All of our righteousness is what put you on the cross. It wasn't enough. And so I pray that we would not live based on our merit, that we would not live based on using a set of rules to make ourselves look good. I pray that we would enjoy a life under grace. I pray that we would see that every blessing in our life is a result of what Christ experienced at Calvary. So may we elevate you, not just today, but every single day. May we live by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.